Understand me. I find myself, I just can't help it. Late over in the midnight hour, I find myself, I have to pray about it. And then again, I find myself, Lord knows I have to sing about it. Fellas, would you sing about it? Lord have mercy. Oh, that sounds good to me. Take up too much of your time, but I just got to tell you about it. Everywhere I go, I hear people talking about they need love. But I find out in order to have love, you first have to give love. Lord have mercy. And when you have love, you gonna find peace. And when you have love and peace, Lord knows you'll find happiness. Oh, I'm sitting here and my mind go back to the time back home in my home church. You know, I used to sing a little bit on the choir, and we used to sing about love. Mercy.
All right.
Oh, I used to sing a little bit. And I find myself so many times singing about love. And I want to ask you a favor out there. I know you can't see me, and I can't see you, but I want y'all to join in with me, because I know the same thing that I'm talking about means so much to you. So what about let's just sing it together? Will that be okay with you? Lord have mercy. Without it, no, 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 no. Oh, I'm gonna leave you alone, but I got to tell you a little more about it. You know, the other day, me and my organ player, Brother Sam Moses, we was sitting down, and Brother Sam said, Tommy said, love means so much to me. He said, I just want to play about it. I said, okay, Sam, play out your soul. Do y'all like that? Wait, 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 wait 1 minute. Oh, I didn't stop there. Brother Sam's William told me the same thing. Play Sam. That one day, that this world will have this love, peace, and happiness. I love you.
Today I found you. don't want it to be said too late. He's coming like a thief in the night. You better get your heart right. Don't you wanna hear the master say, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Oh, sin a man.
Yeah. whatever you're doing, I want to let you know one thing. You may be on your job, or you may be riding along in the car. You may be in your house, but I want you to know one thing, and that is none but the righteous. I said none.
And the word of God says, Hebrews 13, he said in his word, he won't leave you, nor forsake you. Listen to these words. What would I do?
What would you do?
Oh,
if the Lord
turned
his back on you.
I don't know about y'all tonight, but I couldn't do a thing without the Lord on my side, y'all. Oh,
what would you
do? The air I breathe, y'all. What would y'all do? Make you wanna lay down and die.
Turn his back on you.
was in misery. I hurried home as fast as I could. I rushed home like a good child should. She had so much pain pressing her head, lying there on her sick bed. But I heard my mother say, just before she passed away, I'm free at last, free at last, free at last. She said again, she said, I'm free at last, free at last. Kept on talking, you know, and she said this, she said, I watched you grow, my son. I told you about the wrong things you've done. I nursed you from a child. I took care of you when your father died. Now I'm free, yeah. Free. She raised the voice, you know. She said, oh, I'm free at last. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Free at last. Oh, no more tears to shed. No more bowing down head. I'm free at last.
Sometimes I look back over my life and see how far the Lord has brought me. I realize that he's brought me through many dangers, seen and unseen dangers. And it makes my soul look back and wonder sometimes. You ought to hear me pull my arm every now and then and look back and say, oh my.
I'm not afraid to You can look for me. Is that all right? Is that enough? Huh?
I may be sick.
I may be sick. I can't get away.
And gospel music, old and new, quartet, and contemporary Christian music. Join us Monday through Sunday, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. on the NFI Radio Gospel Network, Raleigh, North Carolina, and catch the wave.
I've found healer.
North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world.
In the floorboard, and I thought I would never walk again. But you know, someone dialed 911, the emergency medical service, and after they dialed, they came out and began to cut me out of the car. There for 2 long hours, they took what they called the jaws of life and began to cut the car up around me. I sit there with pain racking all through me. I thought I was gonna lose my feet. I thought I was gonna lose my legs. But God is such a good God, and I thank Him for it right now. As I sit there, I said, Lord, you know, and I don't believe you brought me this far to leave me right now. So they cut me out of the car and got me out to safety. And when they got me out, I said, Lord, I want to thank you, because things could have been worse than what they were. And I want to tell all of you who are out there right now, got your hand in God's hand, God will take care of you. Sometimes it may not seem like it, seem like the road is rough, the going gets tough, but He will take care of you. And I don't know about you right now, I thought I'm going to lose my feet and legs, but
If you could see me right now, I'm walking on my feet, I'm walking on my legs, and I just give God the praise right now, because he didn't have to do it, but he did it anyway, and I want to let y'all know that he will.
Oh, God.
I'm
I'm not walking right. Oh, say when you see me, and I'm not walking right, oh say, please, oh, and if you hear me, and I'm not talking right, oh say, if you hear me, and I'm not talking right, oh, say a prayer. Let me sing a verse right here. I wonder what kind of world would this world be if we would just learn to get down on our bending knees and speak to God concerning every problem we face. Oh, say a prayer
for me.
One more thing. Oh, I know sometimes that you feel like that you're right and I'm wrong. But whatever you do, please say a prayer. Would you do this one thing for me and say, ooh, please,
for me.
Oh yeah, just pray, and the morn, and the eve,
that's what you need to do.
Whatever you do to me,
say a prayer for me.
If you really, 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 really love me, like you say you do, just help me pull through and say
a prayer.
I'm just trying to encourage somebody out there that prayer, ooh, still. I'm a living witness. I can tell somebody out there that prayer still, still. Mother, I know it's rough, but you got to hang on in there, 'cause prayer will. Daddy, I know it's rough, but you got a secret weapon. Just pray about it. Get down on your knees and begin to talk God and say, here I am, Lord. Take my hand and lead me on and help me to stand. Oh, yeah. Is there one thing about prayers that'll move heaven and earth? Something about prayers that will that untried prayer, and no prayer will. Prayer heal your body. I know that prayer will. Prayer brought me over. Prayer pulled me through. Oh, prayer will. Anybody know that prayer will?
Thank you. I'm waiting. 'cause I'm thankful. Dancing around and you're wondering why, just because I'm thankful. Oh, Lord. So when I think about your goodness and all the ways you've made for me, I did nothing to deserve it. It's just you keep blessing me, and without your tender mercy, I don't know where I would be. Make me see I'm thankful for everything you've done.
Anybody in this room tonight?
Because I'm thankful.
Listen here. When I remember where I was and where I am right now, it makes me say I'm thankful. The Lord lifted my head when I felt like throwing in the towel. Lord, that's why I'm thankful. Oh, yes, I am. Ooh. 'Cause you were not there when my life was hurting. Thankful people in this room today. Thankful. Yeah. I'm so thankful. It's because I'm thankful. All the times you stood by me. Because of the blood, Lord, you forgave me. Thank you, Lord. Oh, thankful. Hey. Yes, Lord, I am. I need to know how many thankful people are in this room. Can say them. If you're really thankful, come on, someone tell them again. It's because I'm thankful. Come on, tell them. It's because I'm thankful, Jesus. Because I'm thankful. Thank you.
people in here. Oh, because the tendency is to want to complain. But I wish you could travel and see who doesn't have what you have. How many of y'all just thankful for everything the Lord does for you? How many just grateful that God has been so good to you? And I'm just thankful, thankful, Lord. Thankful, Jesus, for the times you stood by me when everybody had
hold on. Though the clouds seem dark,
we came here to tell somebody tonight.
Just hold on. Though your way seems hard,
can I tell somebody on this side?
If you just hold on.
Y'all don't know it, but you're looking at a witness.
The sun will shine again. In fact, I can see a light just around the bend.
So the nightingale stopped by to tell you that just all you gotta do is hold on. If you hold on to God's unchanging hand, God will win the fight. Is there anybody here that's ever been brought out of a storm? Then you know what I'm talking about. Help me say,
hold on.
It will be. See, God stands at the beginning. Then he looks all the way down at the end.
So God already knows.
Can I get me a witness in here tonight?
Exactly what you do. So in spite of how dark it seems,
just
we stop by to tell somebody to hold on.
He's going to see you.
My time has come and gone, but I sense that somebody needs to hear me say, sometimes it seems,
I can really talk about this more,
like all hope is gone.
Anybody ever been there?
Just remember, God has promised he won't leave you alone.
Somebody in the midst of a storm tonight, you'll appreciate this.
Although it may seem hard,
God told me to tell y'all,
stand on God's word. You know why? 'Cause the battle is not yours. It belongs to the Lord. Grab hold of God's unchanging hand and just hold on.
I don't care what it looks like, it is. Here they can relate to me, because at one time, just like me, you were down and out. But tonight you can get up and you can testify that you can't get too low to where God can't reach down and pick you up and turn you around and place your feet on him. God,
he knows.
Oh, I wish I had at least one witness in him.
He knows exactly.
Look at somebody and tell them that. Somebody say, hold on.
Hold on.
Look at them and say, hold on.
Hold on.
You don't know what you're doing, because some of y'all think that it takes the educated phrases that get you over.
Some of y'all think that it's a 16 or 17 letter word that gets you through. But sometimes you just simply need to have somebody walk up to you, look you dead in the eye and say, hold on.
Hold on.
Tell somebody, say hold on. Here tonight without telling y'all what my mama used to tell us when we were nothing but little bitty children, and when our back was showing up against the wall and we were right smack dab in the center of a storm, and most importantly some of those so-called friends that had promised my mama that they were going to be with her even until the end, when we got right in the center of our storm, y'all know exactly what happened. They vanished on my mama. But then my mama would look at all of those 15 head of children and say, he may not come exactly when you want him, but he always on time. Hold on.
Old man playing Santa Claus, blew in the town with old Jack Frost. Now he's handing out candy canes and smiles for free. People scurry with their lists, rushing around to buy those gifts that will end up wrapped up underneath that tree. I'm sitting.
And now, let's prepare our hearts and minds with this awesome anointed woman of God, Apostle Janet Wooten, out of Raleigh, North Carolina, with Turn on the Light radio broadcast. And now, here is Apostle Janet Wooten. Good evening, Apostle.
Good afternoon, Reverend Kearney, and all of the NFI radio station staff and everyone that's tuned in on today for another Turn on the Light broadcast, where we are illuminating the world with the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus told the people in John chapter 8 that he was the light of life, and that anybody that followed after him would not walk in darkness, but they shall have the light of life. So we're just excited to be able to come back with you on another Monday afternoon from 1 to 1:30. And we're just thankful to God for allowing us yet another day. And we're just thankful. We know that a lot of people participated in graduations, and we say congratulations to all of the graduates and happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers. We know it was yesterday, but we still want to say happy Mother's Day to each and every one of you. And we pray that you enjoyed your family, you enjoyed your children and grandchildren and godchildren, and even those that you may not have birthed a natural child, but you have been a mother figure in somebody's life. And so the celebration is extended unto you as well. Glory to God. And so we're just thankful to God, because we know that it is said that it takes a village to raise a child. And so we know that there are people along the way that not only do we have God bless us and gave us his love through the mother and fathers that we had, but also there were some people along the way, grandmas and aunties and different ones and cousins that stepped in and filled up the gap. And I know there are some people that are saying to themselves, you know, I read an article actually the other day where a person was saying how they were looking at the people choosing Mother's Day cards, and they were looking at the people buying flowers and buying gifts and everything, but they could not relate to Mother's Day because of what they went through as a child and how they were they went through abuse and different things. And so, but they said they were thankful of the people that came in their path that, you know, that held up the hedge, that filled in the gap. Not that anyone can take our mother or father's place, but God always has somebody assigned. He's always got somebody there that will take you in their arms and love you the way that God loves you. There are some things that happen in life that should never happen, but they do, because we live in a world that's plagued and filled with sin, as Satan is the prince of the power of this air. But those that belong to God, that name the name of Christ, even down to we have saints that have sinners' problems. So that's why we have to keep right on praying for one another, keep right on loving, keep right on seeking God. Because I know that the God that we serve can melt the hardest heart. The God that we serve, Proverbs 21 and 1 tells us that the heart of the king is in the hands of the master. And like the rivers of water, he can turn it any which way that he pleases. That he can turn and change the hardest heart. Glory to God. And some will say, well, you know, I don't need a mother figure now. I'm grown. I don't need a father figure now. But you know what? You still got to ask God to help get that foundation right, because you are a sum total of our mothers and our fathers and the family members that are behind. Not saying that you will be like them, but that seed is planted in you. You are that it comes in your foundation. So you still need to ask God to help you to get the deliverance that you need to help you to do what it is that we're going to talk about today. I was reading my devotional last week, and I came across coming out of Matthew chapter number 18. And I don't want nobody to get confused or to get me wrong or take me the wrong way or get offended. But we're just in a time now that a lot of the things that we see going on in the world today is because that we have a lot of hurt people. And hurt people hurt people. We have people that have been hurt. And they need guidance on how to loose that pain and that anger. Not saying that it's easy. Not trying to act like dismiss it or make a little light of it. But it comes a time in our lives when we have to let go and let God. There are things that we just have to let go of. And you have to tell yourself, I am going to recover from this. There comes a time when you have to recover. You have to tell yourself, it's healing time. It's time to recover from these things that have happened in my life. I am going to recover from this. And so when we look at Matthew chapter number 18, starting at verse number 21, is a very familiar subject, a very familiar passage of scripture. And it talks about when Peter, one of the disciples, had walked up and asked the Lord, and he said, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times. Peter wanted to know, you know, how many times do I got to forgive my brother? He sinned against me. And sometimes he keep right on sinning against me. He keep right on doing the same things over and over and over again. So how many times have I got to keep right on forgiving him for the same thing every time? How many times have I got to keep forgiving him? How many times? So he keep right on doing the same thing. And it seems like he say he's sorry, but, you know, I don't see no turning. I don't see no change, because when we tell somebody that I'm sorry, there's a change that should take place. When you come to the place in your heart where you feel godly sorrow, a godly sorrow, that you realize the hurt and the pain and the anger and the things that you, the actions that you have done, what he has caused upon somebody else, you come to a place where you really, really are sorry. You come to a place of repentance. But see, repentance means that you're godly sorry and you won't do those things again. For some people, for some reason, they'll say that they're sorry, but they'll go right back and do the same thing again. And Peter want to know, well, how many times I got to keep forgiving them for the same thing? And so Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. He said, not just seven times. He said, I'm going to say 70 times seven. And that's a lot. That's 409 times. And then he went on to give them a parable. He talked about the kingdom of heaven was likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. In other words, that the king, it had come down to a time where the servants had to give an account of what they had been responsible for. They had to give an account of everything. And so the Bible says in verse number 24 of Matthew 18, and when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But the Bible goes on to say, for as much as he had not to pay, that his Lord had commanded him to be sold, his wife, children, and all that he had in payment to be made. In other words, he didn't have the money. He couldn't pay it. And so he said, well, you know, you're just going to have to be sold. And your children, and your wife, and everything that you have. But the Bible says that, in verse number 26, that the servant fell down and worshiped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And because of the worship, And because he asked him, he said to the servant, he was moved with compassion, and he loosed him and forgave him the debt. Not only did he loose him from being taken and where he should have been locked up and sold, he loosed him from that. He turned around then and forgave him of the debt. He didn't have to pay the debt. He loosed him. And so the Bible said that that servant went out, but then he found one of his own fellow servants that owed him some money, which owed him 100 pence, which was no ways close to what he owed the king that forgave him. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that that thou owest. And the fellow servant fell down and begged for mercy from him and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. The same words that he had just got through saying to the king is the same words that come back in his own ears. But the Bible said that he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. And so when the fellow servant saw all of this, what he had done, the one that had been forgiven all of the debt that he owed, all of the things that he had done, all the times that he had been messed up, and all the times that he said, I was sorry, and turned around and did the same thing over again, but he was forgiven a great debt. But they saw how he handled somebody else that they went and told the Lord. They went and told it. And the Lord sent for him and said, oh, thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had the same compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And so we're going to speak from a topic. I am going to recover from this. I choose to forgive. I am going to recover from this. Because when you don't forgive, whatever it is that that person done to you or happened to you, it holds your heart and your mind and your life hostage. You are put in bondage and you're angry at the world and you go around trying to feel a void and trying to get it out of your mind and trying to go past it. And you're successful for a while. But then there comes a time when, just like this man right here, that chose not to forgive his fellow servant, but sought forgiveness from the king. There comes a time when you got to give an account. That you got to give an answer. And so one thing that I have found out that we do, and notice I said we, is that we want to be forgiven, but we don't want to forgive. Because, see, society gives us this indication that if you forgive somebody, then you letting them off the hook. You letting them get away with what they've done to you. See, we always want vengeance. We always trying to figure out a way how I can get that person back. I want that person to pay for what they've done for me, done to me. Even down to, we talked about a couple of weeks ago, how David's daughter was raped by her own brother, Amnon. And Absalom took her in and told her not to say nothing. Because that is your brother. But all the time, Absalom had it in his heart that when the right time come, I'm going to get him. He got mad with David because he felt like David didn't do what he needed to have done to take care of this matter. So his heart was hardened in two places toward two people. And in a span of 2 whole years, 2 years, He did kill his brother Amnon. He killed him. And he also turned against his own father. He tried to take the kingdom away. Everything his father had, he took possession of it, and David was on the run. But in the end, he lost his own life. And David mourned because it was still his son. And see, we want to be forgiven, but we don't want to forgive. We don't want to let anybody go. And so not only do we go to that extreme, but some of us, after we are forgiven, then we turn around and our heart is kind of hardened when we see people in sin, when we see people in trouble. We talk about them. We condemn them to hell. But we forget about all the sin that God has forgiven us for. We forget about how John 3:16 said that God so loved this world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believed would not perish but have everlasting life. And then, you know, we stop at John 3:16, but we don't go on to the rest of verse number 17 that said that he sent not his son into this world to condemn the world. He didn't send him here to condemn the world about the sins that were taking place. That yet through him that the world might be saved. But we're talking about, I'm going to recover from this. Because as long as you choose not to forgive, that thing holds you hostage. That thing holds you bound. That thing blocks you. There are so many things that God wants to do. God can come in and can purge your mind and take it out of your mind, as well as heal your heart and take it out of your heart. And now, like I said, don't get me misunderstood. And don't become offended. Because I know there's somebody sitting out there right now saying, well, you don't know what was done to me. You know, like the writer of that post in the neighborhood has what they have a neighborhood website. And that writer spoke about how they could not connect. They still couldn't connect to Mother's Day, Happy Mother's Day, because that's not their story. But they did have people that came into their life and was a blessing to them. And so today you have to ask yourself, am I going to recover from this? Am I going to give this thing to God and let him heal me completely? And it starts with, I'm going to forgive. And if the Holy Spirit leads, I got to confront some things, but only be led by the Spirit, because the Holy Spirit don't lead you to do that. Because there's some people you still waiting for them to apologize to you. You're waiting for them to acknowledge that they did this to you. But I'm sorry to inform you, but unless God is in their life and God is in their heart, that's an apology you might not ever get. But can you move on and love God? Can you move on and trust God? Can you move on and say, you know, I forgive you, and move on with the Lord? The vengeance is his. He will repay. He'll take care of them. But he can't work on their heart, and because he don't wish that nobody perish. He wants us all to be saved. But he can't work on their heart. He can't work on their mind, because if change starts in the heart, as long as you holding them in your heart and you holding them in your mind, they're living rent-free in your head, your emotions. Some of the sickness and disease that we go through sometimes is because of we got unconfessed forgiveness, unforgiveness in our hearts. I was reading an article where Jennison Franklin talked about how this woman, she would get so sick and they would send for him. He would go to her house and pray for her and she would recover. But then after a while, she would get sick again. He said that he went to the Lord and said, Lord, what's going on here? Because your word is true. Why is it that this woman keep right on battling the same thing every time we turn around? He said, Lord, you know, I'm beginning to be shaken in my faith and I'm beginning to struggle with this thing. But the Bible said that, the story said that the Holy Spirit let him know that the woman had unforgiveness in her heart. And he said, well, Lord, you know, how did I go to her? So he went to the woman and he began to talk with her. And she said, that's right, I do. Because something was done to me a long time ago by my sister. And I haven't forgiven her. And he began to minister to her to let her know that, you know, this healing won't hold because you're healed. God healed you the first time we prayed. But the symptoms keep coming back, the things come because you have unforgiveness. There are some people you've been hurt so bad that even when the person come in the room or whoever it is, you hear their voice or they come around you or you run into them, you just get sick all over. You get a headache and you pop out with sweat and your blood pressure rise and your nerves, your stomach get tore up and you just get discombobulated at their very sight of them, the very thought of them, the very mention of their name, their voice, or even if there's a perfume in a store that smells like, oh, my Shana, glory to God. But we're here to let you know today that today is your day, that you tell yourself, I am going to recover from this. I can't allow this to hold me hostage any longer. Because at the end of Matthew 18, it was a depiction of our Father, sending his son Jesus into this world for the forgiveness and remission of sins. And through acceptance of the finished work of the cross, that we have salvation because we repented of our sins and he forgave us. And all that sin that death demanded, that justice demanded that we should have died for, that Jesus took our place on the cross. That's what this parable represents. But it says in verse 35, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your heart forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Even now in the Matthew 6, when we're saying the Lord's Prayer, and it talks about forgiveness, and it lets us know that if you don't forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you. And it will be a sad thing that all this work you've done and all the things that you, the church, you've been going to church and Bible study, faithful in church and faithful in Bible study, faithful in Sunday school and faithful and working in the position that you're in, it'll be a sad thing. All the work, but you chose not to forgive one person. Picture how Moses, and then we're going to go to prayer, how Moses led the children of Israel through the wilderness. They murmured and they complained. And Moses allowed them to get to him so much so that he disobeyed God. And God told him the second time to speak to the rock so that he would be glorified. But instead, he smote the rock again. And the people granted Moses with the miracle. And God let him know that you will not go into the promised land and they won't either. But the Lord allowed him to go up on the mountain and to see the promise. Can you imagine after being down here and going through everything that you've been through, and God had delivered you, and how God had blessed your life to get to the end, and you can't go in. Or to see the blessing that he had for you, but you chose not to forgive. Even down to when Jesus talked about to forgive 70 times 7. If you look at what Paul said, the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, he talked about love and how it does not keep count. It doesn't keep score. It does not. It said charity suffers long and is kind. Envy is not. Wants it not itself. It's not puffed up. Does not behave itself unseemly or seek of not her own. Is not easily provoked and think of no evil. It does not rejoice of not in iniquity. Because some people, when you see a downfall of somebody that hurt you, you rejoicing in it. That's not of God. So we just thank God on the day, I shall recover from this. Father, we thank you for your word. Your word you said that we should live by. Your word is forever settled in heaven. Father, you're letting us know, God, that the same way that you have loved us and forgiven us is the same way that we must reciprocate to others. The same compassion, the same grace, the same mercy that you have extended to us that we have to do to somebody else. That, Father, your word reminds us that when we were yet in our sins, that your son Jesus died for us. So, Father, we ask you, Lord, to give us a forgiving heart. Father, for some people, it's hard. Father, but we ask you, Lord, in the name of Jesus, God, that you're able, the able God, and when they cry out unto you, God, that you will renew their mindsets, God, that, Father, you will heal their broken hearts and you will put all the pieces back together again, God. And, Father, you will release them from the pain and you will take the hurt out of the hurt, God. That, Lord, that they will be able to love again. That, Father, that they will be able to love others out of a pure heart. Oh, and we're reminded of your word that tells us, God, in the Psalms 24, that only those with clean hands and a pure heart shall see you. Ah, help us this evening, God. This afternoon, God, in the mess of them, power the name of Jesus to choose to forgive, oh God. And we know it's not going to be easy. But God, we ask you to dispatch your angels to come and minister unto us. Ah, oh, my Shalom Hoshaya, to minister to us, Lord, to lead us and guide us into all truth and all understanding and give us the power. Give us, oh God, what it takes, oh God, to walk in forgiveness and to walk in love. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you right now, God, because as you have forgiven us, we ought to forgive others. As you have loved us, we ought to love others. It's in your name we pray, Lord, let this word stir somebody's mind and heart. Stir in somebody's belly, God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, that will fall down on their knees or fall down on their face, oh God, or they will just stand there and cry out to you as they got to holler, holler. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, and ask you to help them to forgive that they want to. Lord, but help their aching heart, God. Help them, Lord. And be able to cover to give your name the praise, the glory, and all of the honor. It's in your name we pray and we believe. Amen, amen, and amen. This has been the Turn on the Light broadcast, where we are illuminating the world with the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 18. I shall recover from this. I shall get over this. Glory be to God. Matthew 18. God, to bless you is our prayer. Glory be to God. I shall recover from this. Verse Matthew 18:21 through verse 35. God to bless you is our prayer. Amen.
listening to Apostle Janet Wooten out of Raleigh, North Carolina, with Turn on the Light radio broadcast. Be sure to join her every Monday at 1 o'clock p.m. to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the NFI Radio Gospel Network. Until Monday, God's doing a work in you. Stay blessed.
Right here.
Showcase fellowship inspired. Showcase fellowship inspired.
You are now in the mix with the smoothest DJ on the planet.
You're listening to the Anointed One.
We're taking quartet music to another level from 8 to 5. It's quartet music at its best. And from 5 to 8, it's contemporary Christian music here on the NFI.
Catch the wave on the NFI coming to you live from Raleigh, North Carolina in the studio of the NFI Gospel Network.
Nothing like serving the Lord.
I tried everything, but I couldn't find nothing like serving the Lord.
Come on, everybody. Ooh, ooh, ooh. in HD2. Come on in. We've been expecting you. Catch the wave.
We're taking gorgeous music to another level. Catch the wave 7 days a week, 8 to 5, keeping it live on the NFI. Hello, somebody, it's the NFI.
NFI, North Carolina, Georgia, California, New York, Seattle, Washington, around the world, in studio, NFI, Radio Gospel Network, the number one quartet station in the world. We're coming out of the closet in HD2 sound with tight acoustic bass. You are catching the wave with a brand new vibe in quartet music on the NFI Radio Gospel Network.
Nothing like serving the Lord. I tried everything, but I couldn't find nothing. Nothing like serving the Lord.
We've been expecting you. Push the brake. Every day,
Catch the wave on the NFI.
Of LA. I said, yes, ma'am, is everything okay? You said, come over here, I got something to say. You shouldn't be on TV acting that way. I said, whoa, you rather I be gay? Want me to act like I don't make the game? Sorry, ma'am, I ain't cut that way. I gotta keep it 100 all day. And your attitude is worse than mine. And you can be a little bit more fine. And if you want folks to come to your church, we all gotta do some work.
Cooking with Grace, and you are catching the wave. We're live from the NFI Studios, Raleigh, North Carolina. It's Blockbusters Gospel Mixdown, and